glad to be joined in the studio. Here with me is Mr. Wani Steven, who is a lawyer and advocate with us in the studio. Mr. Wani, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Mirror Breakfast Show.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Great. We also have with us in the studio is Christine Kide. Christine Kide is the National Coordinator, South Sudan Coalition for Youth Organization. Christine, good morning. Good to have you.
Good morning, Sevit, and I'm glad to be here.
Great. Let's go right away and look at this particular, of course, constitutional making process. But let's begin by understanding what a constitution is and how significant it is to every nation. Let's begin with you, Mr. Wani. What is a constitution and how significant is it?
Well, in very simple terms, constitution is the basic legislation or basic law that governs a country. Mm-hmm. It's principles that governs how a country should be run. So if I am to say that in Arabic, would say that ad-dastur, constitution, which is ad-dastur, hiya mujmu'amabadi alati tahkum idarat al-dawla. So it's basically they are like mujmu'at qawanin al-albori kev belit muftarat like bidiru biatu tariqa.
Great.
Yeah. So it's very important because. Mm-hmm. It's everything.
Great.
Yes.
Now, of course, we have a lot of laws in the country. And when it comes to the constitution, is it the supreme? Is it like the overall of everything?
Yes. So the constitution is the supreme law of the land. It's basically the law upon which everything else is like all the laws that we have, they have to be in conformity with the constitution. And the different bodies of the government, from the legislature, which is the parliament, mm-hmm. To the judiciary, to the executive, including the president or the presidency, they work in accordance with the constitution.
Great.
Yes.
All right. Christine, of course, you are the National Coordinator, South Sudan Coalition for Youth Organization. You know how important a constitution is, but how much do the citizen know about constitution itself?
I'll start by saying that it's unfortunate that majority of our population don't understand our constitution. Even accessing it, most people do not have access to our constitution. So it is a challenge in a society when people live and they do not understand the laws that govern them.
Mm-hmm.
I think one challenge we have faced as a country is that people do not have access to information, and people, most especially the laws that govern us, people do not understand their rights and their responsibility as citizens, and all this is enshrined in the constitution. So if the citizens knew their rights and responsibilities, maybe they would also understand the mm-hmm. laws of the country.
All right, so let's begin with where are we right now with the permanent constitutional making process?
Currently, recently, the last month, the parliament happened to pass the Permanent Constitution Making Bill 2021. And though we are hearing rumors of some parties opposing it or not, mm-hmm. but we know very well that after the parliament passing it, it's now sent to the president to send his signature. I think that is the status where we are currently. Mm-hmm. And when the president sends his signature, then we will enroll on the establishment of different mechanisms that are going to be part and parcel of the permanent constitution making process mm-hmm. in a period of 35 days.
All right.
So different parties and stakeholders will have to take responsibility by nominating their nominees to those various mechanisms so that the process can start.
Great. Mr. Owani, this is not the first time that South Sudan is working on a constitution making process as such. Why the constant change and why is always being worked on? I mean, give us history as a lawyer of constitution, how, you know, constitutional making process basically.
Well, I would give the short history of us as Southern Sudan and then South Sudan, and in that I would take us back to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2005, after the signing of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, we as Sudan, there was a new constitution for Sudan. By then, the transitional constitution of Sudan. And also in Southern Sudan, because Southern Sudan, based on the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, mm-hmm. autonomy to govern ourselves as Southern Sudan. By then we also had the transitional constitution of Southern Sudan, which took us until 2011. So after independency, after we got our independence, we had the interim constitution of South Sudan, which has been amended every now and then since 2011 until recently, with the merger of the agreement into the constitution. Now, one thing that we have to note is that all of these constitutions that we've been having, they were not permanent. They were from 2005 to 2011. It was a transitional constitution. Then we had an interim constitution that has been governing the country until now. So this is the first time that we are on an attempt to have a permanent constitution.
Great.
Yes.
Yes. And Christine, why would a citizen bother? Why is it important for a citizen to really put interest in this constitutional making process, and what is expected of them?
Just like from the history that Wani has given, when you get into the context of scenarios of these constitution processes, the citizens have not been involved. It has always been key decision makers and the transitional government. Now we have a revitalized government that is taking us through a permanent constitution making. So the agreement says that this process is going to be led as one of the key principles, that the supremacy of the people of South Sudan. So it is very important that the people of South Sudan take an initiative to decide the kind of government they want to have, the kind of country and the kind of leadership they want to have. Currently we have been forced to adopt the revitalized or the revitalized government of national unity, and which we feel it is a burden to us, because we have very many members of parliament, we have very many ministers, we have very many vice presidents, and these are all responsibilities that lies upon the citizens. So it is upon us to decide what kind of leadership we want to have, what kind of system. The agreement also tells us that we have to embark on a federal system of government. So it's time for us to decide whether we want to go with federalism or want to remain with the current system. And we know that in the history of South Sudan, a lot has been talked about federalism, and it has been confused with Kokora and all that. So it is a time that for the first time we are going to have a national conversation on issues concerning South Sudan and also take a decision.
Great. All right, if you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. And today we are discussing and having a conversation on the constitutional making process. So please don't hesitate to call us and ask my guests any question that you like to know, especially when it comes to the constitution. Now, Mr. Wani, let's talk about, of course, basically, it has been said over and over that South Sudan had one of the best constitution when it comes like to the interim constitution, to the transitional constitution. We have one of the best constitution in the region, let's say. But still, it is being not implemented. It's being violated left and right. And we see this over the years and even from the top office of the country. Now, where or who is responsible when it comes to upholding the constitution and making sure that it is implemented? Because however beautiful it is, if it's not implemented, then basically doesn't help the citizens.
I think let me just try to start this conversation by highlighting why has it been violated left and right, which will bring us back to the process of coming up with this constitution or enacting these constitutions. Lack of citizens' involvement and lack of awareness. All of our constitution have good principles and good provisions. For example, the Bill of Rights within our constitution. These are good principles that people are supposed to know it to know their obligations and also know some of the responsibilities that they have and also know their rights. But because this constitution, a lot of people in the rural area have no idea even what it says. So it becomes very difficult for them to, for example, hold the government accountable mm-hmm. when the government violates the constitution. And by government, I mean all the different organs of the government, not and only the executive. Mm-hmm. Yes, and institutions, including institutions. Mm-hmm. So now, who's supposed to, you know, to uphold this? There is no one person who would be like the president or let's say these institutions or that institutions, but all of us as citizens of South Sudan, we have a responsibility to, for example, highlight some of the wrongdoings. And the judiciary usually, within our legal system, the judiciary usually acts as a check and balance mm-hmm. for you know, the executive when they go wrong. And in doing that, they usually look into the constitution, whether a specific act of the government or the executive is in compliance with the constitution. Mm-hmm. So as private, as citizens generally, we have that role to, for example, take some of these matters before the court. Mm-hmm. Now, previously we have the Supreme Court, which also acts as the judge that looks into constitutional matters. Within the context of the constitution, we're supposed to establish the constitutional court, which is not yet to be established, but we're looking forward for that. So yes, all of us as citizens of South Sudan, we have the role to uphold these constitutions when any party or any government organ is violating it.
Great. And now the process is going on. How can the citizens participate?
When you look into the content of the permanent concession making bill, there is going to be various ways that the citizens are going to be engaged. Mm-hmm. We are going to have like a series of civic education and public consultation processes that is going to happen in the first stage immediately after the RNCRC is established. Mm-hmm. So after the establishment, and the RNCRC is mandated to do the civic education and public consultation, but also we know that there are very many signatories to the agreement, mm-hmm. that is the political parties or parties to the agreement, and also other stakeholder groups. All these groups are entitled and mandated to carry out civic education and public consultation, mm-hmm. because during the national constitution making process, that is going to be in the third phase of the constitution making process, every group is going to be given an opportunity to make their submission. Mm-hmm. And that is where people are going to gather their views and submit their opinion on the constitutional text they want to have. So it is the process, citizens are going to participate during the civic education and public consultation. And I think it's one of the things we are doing now. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be done through churches, community engagements. So people have to be prepared. And when they are called to be engaged, they should be available, because this is a lifetime opportunity.
Great.
It doesn't come anytime.
All right. Yeah. Now, what are some of the requirements for the process to achieve the intended goal?
Some of the requirements that are required, one of the principles in this in chapter 6 also states that there should be peace. Mm-hmm. The government should ensure that there is security for people to engage in this process, and also there is also that it should ensure respect for ethnic diversity. I mean, ethnic and regional diversity. Mm-hmm. So these principles that are going to govern this process is considering of citizens' interest, mm-hmm. and also it is bringing on board the things that we fear to talk about, most especially because the context now has broken us into tribal lines and all that. But this is going to be a unifying factor where everyone has a right to be consulted. If a community A is not engaged in this process, they have to raise alarm and complain about it, and mm-hmm. make sure that they are to be part of this process. And also, there are supposed to be consultations with those at the IDPs and refugee centers. Actually, they're supposed to be part of the National Constitution Conference. Mm-hmm. So this particular process is also calling on the government of national unity to ensure that there is security where people will be accessed, and also there is a consideration that it should be happening during a dry season, which I don't know whether it's going to be now, because there are some communities that might not be accessible during
rainy season.
Then also the aspect of engaging those out and inside the country, maybe mm-hmm. at the IDPs and refugee centers.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Wani, there is obviously when it comes to processes like that, like these, sometimes there's that self-interest or personal interest, especially from powerful people who are holding positions right now, and one, well, the constitution should be like this, I want to still have this kind of powers and all that. How can that all be put together for the interest of the citizens? Because at the end of the day, some people want to take advantage of the process. How can this be avoided?
Okay, I think I would talk from a more bureaucratic view of how this constitution is going to be enacted, or how this process is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when we look into the agreement, there are specific bodies that are supposed to be established to mm-hmm. to not only govern but also supervise the process. One of them is the constitution, the National Constitutional Review Commission. Mm-hmm. Which is a very critical body that, you know, looks into everything. And then there is another body, which is the Constitutional Drafting Committee. Mm-hmm. When we look into the Constitutional Drafting Committee, this the composition of this committee is clearly highlighted by different policies and different mechanisms. And there is some sort of transparency on how these people are supposed to be there. And then lastly, there is the Constitutional Conference. Now, the Constitutional Conference would be now the last body to look into the draft of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And it will not only include people who are parties to the conflicts, or people who are now part of the Artigono, but it will include everyone. Mm-hmm. So there is a need for us to look into the agreement critically and be involved. Whether we want to be involved through our political parties, or whether we want to be involved as civil society or as concerned citizens, especially, for example, organs like the Constitutional Drafting Committee, which is initially supposed to have, I think, about 15 members. And I think a good number of these people are going to be more of, I don't want to use the word technocrats, mm-hmm. but they're going mm-hmm. to be lawyers.
Okay.
Yes, they're going to be lawyers who are, you know, in the private sector, who knows how constitutions are supposed to be drafted. So they will not come from a from a political influence, but they will come from the professional point mm-hmm. of view. Mm-hmm. And the lawyers out there, you know, should also monitor when this process starts. So mm-hmm. people who have expertise can actually apply for these bodies and be part of these bodies to enable a very good constitution.
Great. As we see right now, there's already a disagreement when it comes to like the bill itself and how it was passed in parliament. There are some parties that are already boycotting it, and these parties also, of course, have their support. You know, their support base from the citizens say, no, you know what, our party did not participate in the passing of this particular bill. At the end of the day, how can all this unite the people to ensure that this is their constitution and call it their own constitution when there is already disagreements like this from the political parties?
Well, this is a very interesting question. Now, when we look at this issue from a political perspective, it's a big challenge, because some of the parties who boycotted this process of you know, passing this bill, mm-hmm. they have a lion's share in the agreement. So it makes it difficult. But then when we look at, when we leave the political, you know, mm-hmm. environment, which affects the whole process, but when we leave that aside and we look into the, you know, how bills are supposed to be passed in the mm-hmm. parliament, then we realize that maybe there is some sort of, you know, quorum in passing that. Mm-hmm. So these parties, I'm not in a position to advise them, but mm-hmm. they're initially supposed to you know, to look into the future, because this bill has been there for a while. The process of enacting, you know, or passing a bill, usually they don't just bring it in one session and then boom, they read mm-hmm. it and that's it. It goes through first, second, and third. Yeah. So there is there is a question that some of us who are not in the parliament would ask, where were they, you mm-hmm. know, from the first, second, you know, yes. So, yeah. so it's quite challenging, but we have it now. We're waiting for the president to
signature,
yes,
president.
To either sign or return it back to parliament.
Mm-hmm.
They still have the chance to influence within you know, the presidency, because they also are part of the presidency.
Okay.
Yeah, so they can influence it to come back to parliament, then they be part of it. If that does right. not happen, then
all right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Yes, you can talk to us this morning here. Let's take some phone calls. Remember, if you have any question that you'd like to ask our guests, our lines are open. Miraya, good morning.
Good morning, Sudi William.
Yes, welcome. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
You are connected to Lual Garang from Malakal.
Lual from Malakal. Lual, please go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I would like to welcome the guests in the studio, talking about constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But here in South Sudan, constitution are there on the paper, but they are not being practiced.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are being overlapped by those who are, you know, now the country is divided into the political parties, leaving very little political space. Civil participation. People could not participate. And those who are in power now, I don't think whether this constitution will function, because they are ruling through authority. Okay, my question is that
mm-hmm.
whether it will be inclusive. Like, constitution is it acts as the supreme law of the land, and we are now listening in Jua that constitution, but they don't reach up to the grassroots. Whether it will be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Lual Garang from Malakal. Of course, I'll give a chance to our guest right here to answer you. And Lual Garang in Malakal, first of all, is saying the current civic participation or civil participation in the country is very limited or very little, and he wonders if this constitution will really work. And secondly, he did mention about and try to find out if this can be an inclusive constitution. Any of you can answer that. Yes, Christine.
I think I can take that. Mm-hmm. I just want to let Lual know that the agreement gives everyone a right to participate in this process. Besides, in all the mechanisms that are going to be established, there are going to be women representatives, there are going to be youth representatives, there are going to be faith-based representatives, there are going to be business communities and prominent personalities. Every group that signed the agreement
mm-hmm.
are going to represent their constituencies. So it is going to be upon the representatives to engage their constituencies. If it's the youth rep,
mm-hmm.
the youth has to engage all the youth across the country to gather their opinion and come up with a position to submit in this process. The same applies with the women, the same applies with all the political parties or parties to the agreement. So we are hoping that this process is not hijacked, and we hope that at least of mm-hmm. all the chapters of the agreement, this particular one is implemented in letter and spirit, because this is the only opportunity that people have to be engaged mm-hmm. in this revitalized peace agreement process.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Now, one of the concerns of Lual Garang here is basically about the civic space. You know, civic space is not there. Even if the constitution is there, there are some people who will use it on their own, and is saying the country is ruled with, you know, authority as such. So the issue of civic space and those concerns, like, we can have the most beautiful constitution, but at the end of the day, come on, nobody yeah. puts it into
implementation. Yeah.
I think Lual has mentioned a very vital issue here, which is the civic and political space.
Mm-hmm.
Most often when people meet to discuss these matters, some people are concerned about, you know, what are they discussing and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a challenge that we need to also raise, not only within ourselves in the civil society or in the private sector, but also with the government. because if we proceeded to have a constitution that is enacted in a scenario whereby people are fearing, people are not mm-hmm. speaking, mm-hmm. then that constitution would not represent us. So it's even in the interest of the government to sort of have an open conversation with mm-hmm. the people. Mm-hmm. You know, this way we'd be able to have a better constitution. Otherwise, with the current scenario, the civic and political space is really in question, and mm-hmm. and sometimes we're wondering even how this process is going to happen.
Great.
But there is a need for an open conversation.
Thank you. And yes, talk to us this morning. Our lines are still open. Hello, Miraya. Good morning. Hello?
Good morning, Sabit, Luala, and Christian.
Good morning.
Okay, you are speaking to Angelina Bell calling from Rumbek.
Angelina from Rumbek, welcome. Angelina, it's good to have you. Please go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you so much. You know, Sabit William, this constitution is it's a good that it's governing the people of South Sudan. But the way I look at it, constitution is moving at its own way, and the people are operating at their own way. So I would want to ask Lual, what do you think that will be possible to remove the fear? Because if you hold the government accountable, it is where you are leave to express whatever you want it to express. Like your feeling or anything that you are seeing is not going on well. But it happened when you express your idea, then the government, try to intimidate and also arrest and put you in prison. This fear, what will you really tell us that we remove away? Because even if people are aware, as you have spoken before, that the people who are the grassroots did not know to hold government accountable. But even us, even you, even you as a person who know what the constitution says, you are in a situation where you also fear that you cannot even say something out, This is South Sudan that one is not able to say anything. Tomorrow you are in jail. That is one question that I want to ask. The other thing is that the constitution has been amended several times. And it is the law that is governing, and it is the constitution that is really trying to do other things right rather than doing the wrong thing now. But the people of South Sudan, including the current government, which is now, doesn't even concern about the constitution. I don't know whether they have been reading this constitution or they're just operating at their own. They don't even go through the constitution because it is them who put all those details into articles. It was not somebody else. It was them that says we will do this and we will do that. But now, at the end of the day, they are not even trying to respect whatever they have been documented, because anything documented, it is something that will guide people. But now they are just moving at their own. So what do you want to tell us?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Angelina, for talking to us this morning here. We do appreciate your time and your questions and concerns. Let's begin with, first of all, Angelina is saying, what can be done to remove the fear? People fear to hold power accountable. You can, try to hold power accountable, and at the end of the day, probably in the evening, you won't be sleeping. You'll be wondering, should I go home or I go somewhere where nobody knows where I will be sleeping today? How can we remove that fear?
Okay. I think, first of all, let me say it's Stephen, Angelina, but Lual is also fine. And this is the thing. It's not about fear is a very, it's a reality. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you need to, if you're speaking, you need to speak while having a backup. I don't mean a backup, someone in the government.
like some generals
generals. No, that's absolutely not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean having the legal instrument that allows you to speak. Mm-hmm. So within the context of the constitution-making process that we are talking about now, we have the agreement which highlights these processes, which basically give us the right to be engaged and to be involved in these processes. So this is our backup, mm-hmm. the agreement, which is now part of the current constitution. Now, when you're speaking, you need to know the authority that you're speaking mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. This is one. Two, you need to also be critical in your speak, because you cannot defame someone mm-hmm. on the basis of your speaking. Mm-hmm. So you need to be you. you know, more critical and don't target individuals, but you know, speak of the laws, the system, and you know, you're right. So how you speak also matters. But again, I would say having the authority that allows you to speak is very crucial, which is now the agreement and the current constitution.
Great. Now, Christine, Angelina also did mention about we had these constitutions that was, of course, drafted and passed by the current leaders or the current politicians that we have, but there seems to be no concern whatsoever in respecting this constitution, and that's what Angelina as well is wondering. Yes.
Okay.
You want to say something, Wani? Please go ahead.
So this is the thing. As much as yes, the current, most of the current leaders were, you know, present at least from 2011 when the current constitution is being made and the several amendments. However, I also want to just highlight that not all our leaders or not all our politicians know this constitution.
Okay. Mm.
Even these politicians, some of them, they are really grey about what the constitution says.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there is in each institution there are legal people who understand the law, and most often the consultation between the politicians and the legal people within their institutions are not done in the right way. That's why we see there is a lot of violations. So again, you know, within different institutions, these politicians need to involve the legal team or the legal experts within their institutions. I think that's what
yes.
I would add.
Yes, maybe Christine, you'd like to add something.
Yeah, I would just like to add something. I think also we have to agree that there are some articles in our constitution that really gives these our leaders powers to even violate the constitution. And we have been put in a situation where that someone will only be responsible or accountable to the appointing authority. We have been put in a situation that if I am appointed today, I will only be, if the president appointed me, I will only be accountable to the president. So no one cares. We've had scenarios where even the parliament summons the ministers and they don't show up because they feel that the parliament has no powers over them because the president appointed them. So also there are some articles that really leaves the constitution very fragile. And also another thing, like Wani said, some of our leaders do not know the law. They do not know the law. And it is even the peace, the current peace agreement, there are some people who are holding positions that are in this agreement and they don't know.
And they don't know about the agreement. Well, that's the same.
Yeah,
though.
So it's really something that is disturbing. So I think we should embark on the process to sensitize and carry out awareness on our laws. And most especially when we come up with this constitution, we really want to make it people-centered and people should be having the laws at their fingertips.
Great. Yeah. All right, talk to us. We left with 12 minutes to the top of the hour, which is 10. And yes, we can take two or three more calls. Let's take another caller. Good morning. Yes, welcome. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
You are connected with Jamie Duor in the University of Juba.
Jamie's from the University of Juba. Jamie Duor, please welcome and go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you. I would want to begin by saying this preparation of constitutional making in current situation is not going to meet the expectation of South Sudanese. Why? Simply because the agreement that meant for this thing to be referred under fall in the wrong hand as we speak. Because the time that meant for all this to happen has gone. And people would have now talked on different things. Like people now would have prepared for election, all this. And this thing now has gone. And people are trying to still talking about this without analyzing what happened, what also make this thing to be blocked all this time, not to finish. So we need to really think over this. Yes, we cannot even talk of people going to participate because already we know the obstacle in this revitalized agreement. People want to spoil it, as already is spoiled now. And people are still even talking, wasting resources on what will not go to Yeleni. Even personal comparison. Like if you cultivate and you see that farm of yours or that field of yours is not contributing any positive yield of your crop, then you cannot keep cultivating it. So this revitalized agreement to me, it has lost its roadmap, but people are talking of it. And I would want to say that this, it already diverted ways since from day one. See, everybody is important to contribute in this constitution, even those who are in refugee camp. If they would have been repatriated back to the country, they would have contributed, because what makes them to be there is this agreement. And the agreement is signed and people are still there, even POCs, all this. So these people would have contributed, because the constitution is not one person making process. It is general public making process. And now people all need to be individual. Like you now, you are speaking there, like what my sister said before in Rumbek. People are not really having that free will to contribute positively to the constitutional process making. So I should just say that God will help us, and people also need to take part so that God help them while they are also waking up. Because this constitution, I think it cannot even make sense to me, because already it lost its way.
Thank you. Thank you, James, for talking to us. We do appreciate your thought this morning here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Let's take another caller, and the guest will answer all the two at the same time. Good morning. Hello, good morning. Yes, welcome.
Yeah, good morning, brothers. Yeah.
Welcome. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
This is Yukwe, calling from Bentiu.
Yukwe from Bentiu, please go ahead.
Yeah, actually the process that this constitutional making committee process, I thought it may be a people's guiding process, because this is, you know, this constitution of ours of South Sudan, we adopted the constitution which is not favorable for the citizen of South Sudan, and this one, the one they are going to make, let it be a be a people driving constitution that can cover all of South Sudanese.
What do you mean? Just before you continue, what do you mean when you say the current constitution is not favorable for the people of South Sudan? Can you just explain a little bit more, please?
Yes, the current constitution is not favorable for South Sudan. Why? Because the most power is given to the president to fire the governor and to appoint the governor. And the governor is supposed to be elected by the people, and also to be removed by the people. But currently, what I saw, the president has given, the Constitution has given the president more power to remove the governor. Even the governor, the governor which was elected, he has given power to remove and appoint. This is what they say is not favorable for South Sudanese, the current constitution.
All right. So you're asking for the one that people are making to be a South Sudanese centered constitution. Thank you, Mr. Yukwe, for talking to us. We do appreciate your time, and let's give a chance to our guests right away. We start with James Duor, and James Duor from the University of Juba is saying the current situation or the current environment is not conducive for our constitution making process. First of all, he said the time has gone. It's really, as he did mention, we just need to put all this in the hands of God. What would you like to respond to James?
I just want to tell James that I do agree that the time has gone. And one challenge I see the agreement left us with was what happens next after all these, the implementation fails. Mm-hmm. That is something even the parties of the agreement did not tell us. Mm-hmm. And now it has left us at a situation that we are all confused. We are hearing that we're going to have an extension, but on what grounds are we having these extensions? So a lot has been violated in the implementation of the peace agreement, and the implementation is no longer happening according to the implementation matrix. Mm-hmm. The constitution making process was supposed to take 24 months. Mm-hmm. And as he said, by now we're supposed to be preparing for elections that was to happen in February. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with all this, it has failed. But if the government says now we are starting this process, I also think we should not leave it out. Mm-hmm. Because if we leave it, we are going to live in a prolonged, we are going to have a prolonged period of having a country without a law.
Constitution.
Yeah, without a constitution.
All right. Mr. Yukwe from Bentiu is saying that The current constitution is not favoring the people of South Sudan whatsoever, and he's saying the next one that people are working on should be South Sudanese-centered constitution. What could you like to say, Stephen?
Yeah, so this is the thing, again, I would say that with the current constitution, yes, there are some provisions that people may view it as not favoring the people, or the citizens in a way. But then this is where, like, if we look at the current process, we really have to be involved in it to avoid some of the things that happened or some of the provisions that are available in the current constitution. So this is like you know, the golden egg. You know, we have to really, you know, be part of it, to cherish it, to make sure that the baby that would come out of this golden egg really is what we want, and really is you know, something that would serve all of us.
All right.
And we can only do that by, you know, being involved in the process.
All right. That's all the time we have. Just before I let you go, Christine, in less than 30 seconds, please, what's your final message?
My final message is that as long as the government agrees that we are embarking on this process, let people be engaged. And we should also gather the confidence, as Wani said, we should have a backup on the legal aspect,
provisions
to back up ourselves in terms
our
of
arguments
on
and
our
all that.
Arguments.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is very important that we should not let this pass us by.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Christine and Mr. Wani. Stephen, what is your message out there?
So my message would be this. In 2015 and 2018, all of us who were part of the process of making the peace agreement, we were involved. But then when we came to Juba, everyone decided to just, you know, sit back and see the parties to the agreement, implement the agreement the way they wanted, which led to a lot of violations, a lot of delay in implementing certain provisions. Now, we don't have to take the back seat anymore. We have to be involved to make sure that, you know, this process, as much as it has delayed, it serves its purpose.
All right.
So, yes, all of us, be involved through your political parties, if you want to, through the civil society, if you want to, the religious, the faith-based
yes.
Organization, if all you right. want to. Just be involved.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Wani Stephen, and thank you, Christine Kide, for coming to Mirror Studios. Do appreciate your time.